Welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. Faith Alive is a charismatic teaching ministry with current operations in Arizona and Oklahoma. For 40 years and counting, Pastors Lloyd and Debbie Merrihue and the Faith Alive team have continued following the Lord's mandate to teach God's people how to live in this world. We share the word wherever we can, in correctional facilities, nursing homes, and in church gatherings and evangelistic outreaches around the country. We believe you will be inspired, blessed, and taught by the word that you're about to hear. Join with us now as we receive from the Word of God.
All the time, and all the time, God is good. Look at this now. There's no shadow that He won't light up. There's no mountain that He won't climb up. There's no wall that He will not kick down. There's no lie that He won't tear down. Coming after you and I, coming after us. No matter what you're facing tonight, it doesn't matter to me. God is coming after you. God is here for your rescue. Kind of like that old TV show called Baywatch. How that you saw David Hasselhoff, somebody down in the water drowning, and you got a spiritual David Hasselhoff coming after you, running after you, chasing you down. I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to deliver you. I'm coming to bring you out of whatever it is that ails you, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever problem and trial that you're going through. God said, I'm coming after you. There's nothing that can separate you from my goodness, from my love, from my mercy, from my grace. I don't care, says God. I don't care. I still love you. That's the love of God. That's that reckless love of God. That's that uncontrollable love that God has for you and I. Say this with me. Say He loves me. Say He loves me.
He loves me.
Say love loves me.
Love loves me.
God is love, so love loves you. I want you to slip your hands. While we were singing that song before this one, the Lord said to pray over you. I don't know if you want someone to lay hands on you, I'll lay hands on you. But I just believe that there's somebody here, a couple here, that are going through something that they just question that, God, are you really there? Are you really there? Are you really there? I just want you to look up to God, and I want you to just tell Him, say, God, I believe You're with me. David made this statement. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are with me. Say, I know You're with me.
I know you're with me.
I may not see it. I may not feel it. I may not can understand why I'm going through what I'm going through, but God, I know that You are with me. And like the writer in Romans said, if God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
Who can be against
Amen.
Me? I want you to just give God a good shout of praise saying,
Hallelujah.
He is with me.
Hallelujah.
If you believe He's with you, give God a shout of praise
Hallelujah.
Because God is moving and working in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Slap or turn around and slap somebody a high five and say, He's with me.
He's with me.
Find somebody across the aisle and say, He's with me. Find a guy. Hey, there ain't a whole lot of us here, but you can high five. I want you to high five. Say, He is with me.
He is with me.
He is with me.
Amen.
He's with me.
Amen.
And He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and is to come. He's inside of us. He's with us. He's with us. He's
Amen.
With us. He's with us. Father, we thank You. We praise You that You're with us. We thank You, God, that love loves us. And God, as we get in Your word, I pray, Father, Lord, that You anoint Joshua like he's never been anointed before, Father. Lord, I thank You that Your anointing was here during worship, and I thank You it's just going to build and build and build. Lord, I just pray that You give him a word from heaven for us so we can hear.
Amen.
And that we hear what You have to say over us. Father, I bless him today. I bless him and the ministry You've given him, his ministry. God, I bless him. A spirit of wisdom and revelation will flow forth tonight. like he's never felt before. Holy Spirit, we do give you free reign. This is your show, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is your show, God. You do what you do. We thank you and we praise you in your holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I said it when I was talking on Facebook about this. I was like, the Word, which is Jesus, the Word is going to do what he does, and we're going, it's going to be good. Praise the Lord. Let me get my coffee here. Beware a caffeinated preacher. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, he already prayed over it, so we're just going to launch right into this. Let's turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to go over a couple of things, and then we're going to get into the Word, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. I can keep my notes from sliding all over the place. We will be okay. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 is a... Excuse me. Yes, it is Mark chapter 11. Okay. But no, we're not going to 22, 23, 24, and 25. We're not going to Brother Hagin's verses. Not tonight. However, you know, those of you who have listened to Brother Hagin for many, many years know that he preached for 40, 50, 60 years, and really, for the most part, never got outside that handful of verses. I mean, the few times that I heard him do anything else was, I know he did a series on the healing miracles of Jesus where he broke down some of those. But for the most part, he stayed right in those verses. But if I had a verse that I wrote, mine is in Romans 5, and we're going to get there in a little bit. But what I want to talk tonight to you about is when love comes to town. We talked about this already. Love loves us. Jesus, God is love. Jesus is the manifestation of love to us. And love has come to town. And we are going to look at several places in the scripture where love came to town. Now, I had four in my notes originally. And when I was sharing this with the people on the reservation last Sunday morning, the Lord hit me with another one. So things can change right in the middle of your sermon sometimes. So there are five places. Now there are more, but there are five places I found in Scripture when love comes to town. The first one we talk about is the Christmas story. Love came to town in Bethlehem. Love was born in a manger to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, I was typing that in my notes one day, and I missed the N key on the end of the last word. And so my notes said, peace on earth, goodwill toward me. And I received that. That was a word from the Lord for me. Because his love, yes, God loves the world. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it is more important, not just that God loved the world, not just that God loves each of us people as a number. There have been billions of people on the planet. God doesn't have your number. Some of us have done time or worked with people that have done time in jail or in prison, and you've got a number that you're identified by. I remember Corrie Ten Boom in The Hiding Place after she had been in the concentration camps. When she was released, it was weird. It was strange to her when somebody called her by name. Somebody called her name, and she had to stop and think, oh, wait, they're talking to me. She'd been so used to hearing that number and being called by that number for months, for years, that she forgot that, you know, I have a name. Well, you have a name, and Jesus knows it. God loves you as an individual. So, that first time that love came to town, love came to Bethlehem and was born in a manger. The second time love comes to town, this is where we're going to start. Mark chapter 11, and where do I want to pick this up? We talked about this here a couple weeks ago. This is what we call the triumphal entry. Mark chapter 11. Let's go ahead and start in verse 1, and we'll just read it. When they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has even sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." Now, I used to attend a church out south of town right next to the car lot, and they started parking their stuff over the line on our property and just kept encroaching further over. And I told our pastor that one time, I was like, "I'm fixing to go over there and commandeer one of those SUVs. And when they ask me, 'What are you doing?' I say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" the Lord needs it, and you parked it on my property. But I never did it. The Lord never told me to do it. And if you're going to do something like that, they were able to do this because Jesus told them to do it. Don't try to do this if you don't hear Jesus say do it. But they went their way, found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of those who stood there said to them, What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered, "Just as Jesus had commanded them." Now, this isn't in the notes, but here's something important. When the Lord tells you to do something, do what he said to do, and do it exactly how he said to do it. I know you guys know the story. Back in Exodus, there's one time where God tells Moses, "Strike the rock." And he strikes the rock, and water comes forth out of the rock. The next time, he says, "Speak to the rock." Well, Moses was upset. He was mad. He was upset. He's like, "All right, you rebels, do we have to take care of this again?" And he takes his staff, and he smacks the rock. He strikes the rock. And guess what? God moves. He provided for his people. But Moses disobeyed. Moses messed himself up. Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because of that. Over in Deuteronomy, when he's getting ready to die, he's like, "You know what? I don't get it. I don't get to go in. And I don't get to go in because you guys made me so mad that I disobeyed God." Well, don't do that. Do what the Lord says to do. When he tells you to do it, how he tells you to do it. I know we got a number of parents here. When you tell your kids to do something, you want them to do what you told them to do, when you told them to do it, how you told them to do it. And if you don't do all those, partial obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Oh no. Okay. To be fair, Dad used to do that to me all the time. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered, "Just as Jesus had commanded," and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. Many spread their garments on the streets, and others cut down branches off the trees and scattered them on the street. Those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So they cry out with the same thing that those angels cried out at the birth of Jesus. Because love is coming to town. Love is coming to town riding on a donkey. Jesus entered Jerusalem. He goes into the temple. He looks around. He sees what's going on. And he's going to come back. He's going to cleanse the temple. That's another story. We're not going to get there. That's a little bit later in chapter 11. But Jesus, love came to town riding on a donkey. Number three, or in my notes, number 2b, we see that Jesus died. We know that Jesus died. He died on the cross. And 2b, go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And this was the bonus that wasn't in my original notes. The third place that we see love come to town. Matthew chapter 27. And this is Jesus on the cross. We'll pick it up in verse 50. "And Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice, released his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the ground shook and the rocks split apart." Okay, this is the third time that love comes to town. This is God the Father saying, "I will no longer be separated from my people." He had to hide himself away. I've spent some time over the past couple of months in my Bible reading, reading the Old Testament account, reading about the tabernacle, reading about all this, and God wanted to speak with his people. He wanted to be with his people. And they ran and hid, and they told Moses, "You go up there. We're scared. You go up there. You talk to him. You come back and tell us what he said. And whatever he said, whatever you say, we're going to do." Well, we see how well that worked out for him. But God, because of that, his presence was locked away in what we call the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the high priest could go in and could take that sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people, to cover them for another year. But this is the point that God says, "I have had enough. I will no longer be separated from my people. I am coming out from this little box you've put me in." This is when love comes back to town, that the Father says, "I will always now be with my people. I will never be separated from them again." Now, we know that Jesus died. Go back to the book of Mark. Let's go to chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 helps if I get in Mark, not in Luke. Luke chapter 15 is going to be good too, but that's not what we need. Mark chapter 15, and I just want to pick up on just a little bit of this. Let's go to verse 33. This is where love dies. "When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" The Old King James says, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And he's quoting here from David in Psalm 22. And this is one of, I think it may be the only place, but if it's not, it's one of very few where Jesus refers to his Father as anything other than Father. He doesn't say, "My Father." He says, "My God." Because this is the moment when he takes your sin and my sin, the sins of the world, the weight of every sin, as we sang earlier, upon him. When he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And we'll go down to verse 37. "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit." This is the same thing we read just a moment ago. "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he cried out and gave up the spirit, he said, 'Truly this man was the Son of God.'" Now, that's love dies. So now, the fourth time that love comes to town. And this is where we want to spend some time. Because last week was Easter. If you're Eastern Orthodox, this Sunday is Easter. Their calendar is a week off from the rest of the church traditions. So their Easter Sunday is this week. And so we want to talk about the fourth time that love comes to town. That's the resurrection. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Praise God. And yes, I suppose I could have done the Lisa Bevere thing and print all my scriptures out in 30 point. But that's the reason I brought this, so that I'm not bending way over here like this. Praise God. John chapter 20, the resurrection of Jesus. Love comes back to town because you can't keep love down. Love is unconquerable. Because God is love, because Jesus is love, he can't be conquered. You couldn't keep him down. Death could not hold him down. John chapter 20. "Early on the first day of the week," we'll start in verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she came running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple, now this is John talking about himself, the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went inside the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth that was around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came first to the tomb, went in also. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away to their own home. Now, I want to skip over. We're going to skip Mary Magdalene. She's very important. Don't skip over her. You should read this and you can learn from it. But just for the sake of time, we're going to go over to verse 19. Verse 19, on the evening of that first day of the week, so this is Sunday evening, the doors being locked where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they're hiding away in a room because the Jews have killed their leader, and they're like, what's next? They took out the boss. Now they're going to come after us. So the disciples were assembled with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were then glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." This is where we are commissioned. We see this over in Mark chapter 16 as well, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go in my name, and these signs shall follow them that believe." That's over in Mark chapter 16. But this is where love came back to town. Love has come to town. And we see through the next couple of chapters that he keeps appearing to them. Another place in the scripture, I believe it's over in Luke, where he says, by many infallible proofs, that he appeared to his disciples. He appeared to people who didn't know him. He just kept showing up, where there was no way to doubt that love had come back to town. And the fifth time that love comes to town, love is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. I believe it could be any day. I don't know. I am not an end time scholar. I am not a prophecy expert. I have never claimed to be. I remember as a young child being convinced, not because mom and dad were driving fear into me, but being convinced just from what I was hearing that, you know, Jesus could come back any day. And I grew up with that. Those of us who have been in this for a while, remember back in the 80s, 88 reasons why Jesus will return in 1988. Oh, I think before the fire, I think I still had a copy of that one on the shelf. Well, newsflash, he didn't come back in 88. But I'm not concerned about it, because like Brother Caps used to always end his broadcast with, the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming again. And I know he's coming. So love is coming back to town. But love, in a very real sense, love has never left town. Because he is alive in us. Before service, I showed the video of you two playing the song When Love Comes to Town. That video, that version of it, my favorite version, comes from their tour of Australia, the Love Town Tour. This is live in Sydney. And I love that, because what does this mean to us? It means that because Jesus Christ is alive in us, we are alive in Love Town. We live in love, and love lives in us. We talked about this morning, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what? This isn't in my notes, but we're going to go there anyway. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to go with it. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2. And I've kind of remixed this a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me find where I'm supposed to be. Let's start in verse 4, because I want to start at the top of a sentence. But God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. How many of you love those but God moments? That's when God moves into your situation. I know we've been talking about this. You know, we've all got these different situations going on. We've all got these things, these trials that look sometimes bigger than we can imagine handling on our own. But God. But God, being rich in mercy. Oh, that mercy, that loving kindness, that goodness toward us. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, shall come upon us and overtake us. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be overtaken by some goodness and mercy. He can run right over me with that goodness and mercy. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, jump back up to verse 21 of chapter 1. This is where Jesus is seated, so this is where we're seated. Far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. Now, that means whatever situation you're going through, the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name has already overcome whatever that situation you are in. Whether that situation be lack in your finances, whether that situation be something in your body, something that you're dealing with, a physical ailment, whether it's a mental issue. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, love has overcome this. Because love has come to town, you know what? Ephesians chapter 2 was in my notes. I just skipped one. Praise God. God knows what he's doing even when you don't. How many of y'all have ever gotten up here to do something like this? And you think you're all over the place. I have had this happen that I was like, you know, that was just, I was all over the place. I don't know what I was doing. And somebody will come up to say, you know what? That thing that you said right there was what I needed to hear. And it's happened to me more than once. And that's why I can say I just work here. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean for us? It means he is alive in us. We are alive in him. We are alive in Love Town. Romans chapter 5. I said we would get here. If Mark 11, 23 through 26 are the verses that Brother Hagin wrote, and if John 10:10 is the one that my dad wrote, and he has preached from John 10:10 a lot. Romans chapter 5. There are so many great things in the scripture, but Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 may be my favorite scripture in the whole book. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, and you'll have to go back to the first four chapters. I don't have time to go back through all that to find out what he's been talking about. But therefore, since we have been, that means this is a done deal. You were justified. Your justification was purchased at the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he once and for all justified you before the Father. He made you, That's why it says that we're made the righteousness of God in him. He made you 100% righteous before our Heavenly Father. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, we talked about this shalom this morning, that restoration. That's what peace in the Hebrew is, that shalom in the Greek, in the New Testament, it's the word Irene, but it's the same concept. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything provided for. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that once and for all, God the Father is not mad at you. I know if you're a parent, I know there's been times you have been frustrated beyond measure with your kids. You've been upset. You've been mad. But God the Father is not mad at us any longer. That doesn't mean we'll never mess up. But even when we mess up, 1 John 1:9, if we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access. Now, I know I've talked about this a couple of times here, several weeks ago, one of the first times I shared in here. But I talked about this, but we'll do it again. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, I love that concept, the grace in which we stand. Grace is the atmosphere that new creation. We talked about the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, when we're a new creation, we are designed to breathe a different atmosphere. I'm not talking about this physical atmosphere. Now, we know there are places and locations that the atmosphere is physically polluted. I spent some time several years ago working out at the tar paper plant. And Billy knows what I'm talking about. Billy worked there too, out at the tar paper plant. And the atmosphere would get so thick in there, you could chew it. I mean, it was just full of tar, full of pollutants. Melanie knows that even to this day, I still have a bad habit of grinding my teeth. And that started happening because I was in that atmosphere that the air was so thick with the fumes off this tar paper and just all the stuff in the air that it was so thick you could chew it. It was bad. And oh yeah. And we were not designed to breathe that. Now, in the same way, your spiritual, your new creation was not designed to breathe this atmosphere of this fallen world that we find ourselves living in. That's why it says that we're in the world, we're not of the world. We were not designed to breathe that. We were designed to breathe and to operate and to function in the grace of God, in the goodness of God. So, now, let's go down to verse 5. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I need to find, and I will find it, I need to find where I got this definition from. But that word shed abroad, it's also translated poured out. And it's translated in several places, poured out abundantly in overabounding measure. And the translation that I'm trying to find, one author translates this as poured out without regard as to your capacity to receive. That means he's going to pour more into you than you have room to contain. What he was talking about over in Malachi chapter 3, he says, you know, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room to receive. This is what happens when he pours out. You know, I'm going to have to check it. I'd almost bet you in the Greek translation of the Old Testament that poured out there is the same word. I don't know that. I am not a Greek expert. I am not Rick Renner. Somebody will have to call him for this. But he pours it out on us without regard as to our capacity to receive it. So, love has come to town. When love comes to town and love fills you up, I'm not a drinker, but the old commercial said it'll fill you up and never let you down. Well, if Jesus will fill us up, he ain't never going to let us down. Oh, amen, amen. He is so much better. I know people will try all kinds of things. People will try all sorts of things other than Jesus. But there ain't nobody better. There ain't nothing better. I know that's not good grammar, but I grew up in Oklahoma. But we'll get the point across that Jesus, love has come to town. Love is living in you. I'm looking around this room. I think I've at least met all of you. I think I know most of you. All of you, if you don't know Jesus, and we'll say this too, because I am recording this. We are going to put it on Facebook and on my website, and we can put it over on the Freedom website. We can put it wherever we want. But if you're watching this and you don't know Jesus, it is time, because love has come to town, and love has come to town for you. I have come that the, I said I wasn't going to go there, but we're going to anyway. John chapter 10. We will probably close with this, but John chapter 10 and verse 10. This is another one of my favorite verses. I'll read it first from the Modern English Version, which is what I have here, and then we'll expand on it a little bit. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to do these things, to steal and kill and destroy. I came," Jesus said, "that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I love the Amplified there. The Amplified says that I have come that they might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, if you ever walk into my house, now right now is probably not a good time to do that, but if you ever walk into my house, I have scriptures up in various places around the house, and this is one that I printed up multiple copies of. Where you know, just about wherever you turn, you're going to spot this verse somewhere saying, "I have come that they might have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows." Now, Pastor Jason shared this with us out of the Message. Says that this is a life like you've never imagined it. I grabbed a hold of that. That was good stuff. Life like you've never dreamed. And that's what happens when love comes to town and love takes up its residence in you. When you move to a new town, if you have to move somewhere, Mom and Dad are working on this right now. They've been led to purchase some property out there just off the reservation where they can actually own property, but close enough that they can continue to minister in various places on the reservation. And so they're looking to take up residence, not just to stay in a hotel. I mean, I don't mind hotels, but 10 years ago now, we had a fire out on our property, and Melanie and I wound up living in a motel room for a month. Yeah, and that was not fun. I mean, it was kind of fun the first few days. Okay, cool. We've got cable. We've got we got somebody else to come clean the room and et cetera, et cetera. But after a few days, you're like, you know what? I just want to go home. I just want to have my residence. Well, this is what Jesus does. He comes to town, and he's looking to take up residence. And guess what? You're it. He is alive in you. Now, he's seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. And he's above all principalities and powers. And sure, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But he says, if you dwell in me and my word abide, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he says, you'll ask what you will, it will be done for you. And he said, but he says that I and my Father will come and dwell in you, will take up residence in you. That's why we say we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the house of God. We talk about this building being a house of God, and it is. And I understand that. That's why we have a respect for church buildings. We have a respect for those places of worship. But when it comes down to it, you are the temple of God. You are the house of God. And he wants to take up residence in you. Love wants to take up residence in you. And guess what that means? If he's living there, if you're living in a place, if it's your house, then when the bills come due, who pays them? You do. Well, if Jesus is living in you, one of our chaplains said this, Chaplain McCollum over at Eddie Warrior said this. She was talking about a project that they had because they built this beautiful new chapel building. And I'm so thankful for it because it means that when we go in, I don't have to haul in my PA system. I used to have to do that. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to do that now. But she said, if it's God's will, it's his bill. He'll take care of it. And if Jesus lives in you, he's not going to be a freeloader. Some of y'all have had, if you've ever rented to anybody, you've had deadbeat renters that don't pay their bills. Well, Jesus ain't going to do that to you. If he's living in you, he's going to pay the bills. He's going to take care of you. So, we see that love has come to town. Love abides in and with us. And because he abides in us, then anything that we have the desire to do, anything he tells us to do, we can do it because he is alive in us and he will empower us to do it. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. I thank you that your love has come to town. I thank you that your love never leaves us, never forsakes us. You are alive in us, and because you're alive in us, we are alive in you. Father, I pray right now for each person here, for every need that they might have. Your word says that we don't need to be anxious about anything, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, we can make our requests known to you. And it says that your peace will guard our hearts and minds. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. So every need of every person here, every person watching, every person listening, I praise you that those needs are met, spirit, soul, and body, physical, financial, relational. And that if anyone watching, anyone listening, anyone within the sound of my voice does not know you, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is working and moving even now, not to condemn, because you said, John 3:17, you said that you did not come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through you, Lord Jesus, might be saved. So we thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving to convict and to woo, because you said that if you're lifted up over all the earth, you would draw all men unto you. We thank you that you're drawing people to yourself right now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
That concludes our message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be reproduced for commercial or resale purposes. Duplication by individuals for the purpose of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional information and teaching resources, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithalivefellowship.net. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.